Last week on A Cast of the Past, we talked about our favorite games from the year 1999 because looking back, it was one of the greatest years for entertainment, whether it be video games, movies, or even music. But this episode, it's about the big screen. It's about the ticket to the box office. When you sat down there, you had your popcorn, you had your overly large soda, which was probably not good for your health, but you enjoyed a good movie. Which one was that for each and every one of us? We're going to be talking about that on another exciting episode of A Cast of the Past with a new episode each and every Sunday with yours truly, Juan Velez from Puerto Rico. And as always, I'm joined by the full team, kicking it off with Keith Poshuk from London, Ontario.
Hello.
Keith, when we talk about movies in 1999, which specific genre were you into at the time?
At the time, it was a mix of comedy and sci-fi. I guess sci-fi action movie, more glorified, fun, leaning towards children's action movie style stuff, but mostly comedy. I was a kid that liked to laugh.
That's good. That's good. What about you, Ryan, from Boston, Massachusetts? Is that, if that's where you're really from?
I would also say comedy was a big thing at the time. You mix in a little bit of horror here and there, but I would say by far comedy the most. Yeah. And there was a lot that came out this particular year.
I'm not going to lie. I was a giant baby around this time, and I just couldn't do horror. This at some point in my life, a switch flipped, and now I don't have many problems with horror movies. But at this time, like, I was one of those kids that had his little eyes under the covers and was like, ah, scary.
I mean, we were literally kids, so we were around 10 years old.
I was 9 in 1999,
which puts Ryan and me around 10. So worth pointing out. But kicking it off first with Mr. Poshuk, which was your favorite movie of that year and why?
So like I said, I was really into comedies at this time, and specifically, there was a large portion of my life where I was obsessed with the Austin Powers movies, and in my opinion, the best of the three was the movie that came out in 1999, Austin Powers 2, The Spy Who Shagged Me. I've probably seen this movie, probably close to 100 times. And I still love it. It was the first one was on Netflix, just got added to Netflix a little while ago, and it made me go back and watch the entire trilogy. And I love these movies just because of how dumb funny they are, especially being 10 years old when this movie came out, 9 years old. Just all of the humor appealed to me, the very lowbrow, toilet horny humor with Austin Powers and Dr. Evil and characters like Fat Bastard, which is God. Can't do that one today at all.
How did you think or how did you react to the sexual part of it, considering you're 9-10 years old? Is that something you identified, or did you just look at the goofy stuff and this was more for the adults that knew about that?
Well, it was the age where I started to understand it, where I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, but I don't think I fully understand it yet. There's a story about the first
Little
Austin Keith's Powers.
Like, where's my mojo?
Yeah,
exactly.
Where's my mojo?
There's a story about the first Austin Powers that I will never tell out loud, but I'll just leave that to your imagination. Oh. And but yeah, Austin Powers 2 and then 3 after it was such a big cornerstone of my preteen years. And this is the best of those three as far as I'm concerned. So it's easily my favorite movie of 1999.
Ryan, were you a fan of those?
I was big at the time. Much like Keith, I think I understood most of it. Maybe probably some of the jokes went over my head, to be honest with you, but not enough that I didn't enjoy it. And me personally, I think I'm a bigger fan of the first one because I think it's a more kind of subtle, well, not really subtle, but it was a parody of James Bond, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it didn't go too silly, too over the top. It did it at the right times, and I think each one got more
groovy, baby.
Yeah, each movie got more and more ridiculous, and Dr. Evil became more and more absurd. And I think that first one just was like the perfect balance for me. But I was a big fan of that series. So for me, my favorite movie from 1999 is The Sixth Sense. This was a groundbreaking movie for me. Just one of those big twist movies. And this is the internet still being in its infancy. The whole spoiler culture was not nearly as prevalent. So a lot of people were just, you know, completely shocked when they learned of the twist in this movie. But it's just a great horror type thriller. I don't know if it's a thriller, but it's just this great kind of investigative horror type movie where this kid can see dead people, and he has this therapist who's trying to kind of help him through it, help him cope with this this kind of power that he has. And even though I know the twist of this movie, anytime I'm just like sitting around and I'm flipping through channels or I see it on, I'm just always sucked into this movie and like can't get enough of it. Like I'll always watch it, and it's just, I'm just always so fascinated with it. It's just such a tremendous movie. And the young actor in it, Haley Joel Osment, actually was Oscar nominated for this role. And this was obviously the catapult of M. Night Shyamalan's career, where he felt like he had to do a twist in every single damn movie he did. Yep. After this.
The Shyamalan kind of buried it to the ground.
Shyamalan ding dong. Yeah, he took it a little too far. But, you know, it worked for some of his movies, and it especially worked for this movie, which it still holds up to this day, and it's a great movie. And if you haven't seen it, I didn't even spoil the twist for you, so go check it out.
Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that The Sixth Sense is a very rare movie that you only really get to watch it once and be pure, because it's still a great movie once you see it the second time, but you're looking at it through such a different lens if you don't know the twist that it's an entirely different movie, and it's almost worth watching twice for that reason.
Exactly.
It's a super special movie.
You can see, once you know the twist, you can watch it back and you like it. You're like, you said, it's a totally different experience. So it really is worth watching at least twice.
Yeah, I love movies like that, and I remember that The Sixth Sense, at least here in Puerto Rico, it had like this built-up thing about it. It was this thing that people said, yo, have you seen this movie? No, you have to see it. Oh, I can't tell you why, but you have to see it. And I think that's something beautiful, right?
Somebody
is so excited, right?
The world sucks now.
Yeah, because now you have to be so afraid of social media, but back then, the fact that people were always telling me, you have to see blank. I'm not going to tell you why. And there's no way you can find out. It's not like you're going to grab a phone.
Yeah, the people you were talking to about the movie were your friends. So they weren't going to be an asshole and spoil it for you. And social media really wasn't a thing then. So if you wanted to, you had to really dig to spoil this movie.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you could just be on your Twitter feed, on Facebook, and without even meaning to run into a spoiler. So it's a lot harder today. Back then, it was a huge twist, and people were nice enough not to spoil it for you.
The fact that I got spoiled on Star Wars The Force Awakens in a World of Warcraft trade chat is something that I've never been able to let down. It pisses me off, and that's why I hate the way that social media has ruined that.
Never even think about touching Twitch until you've seen a big movie.
Good God, no kidding.
No, and considering how big of a fan for Star Wars Keith is, that's a little crazy. Before, I was
pissed.
Yeah, but before we get to mine, here's a breakdown of the top five movies at the box office in 1999. So number five, we have the original Matrix, which we do have a review of available on the channel. And there's going to be a fourth one. That's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about that right now. I'll be honest.
We'll see.
What about you guys?
I mean, I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I'm very curious. So let's see.
Yep,
Keanu Reeves' stock couldn't be higher, so let's see what happens.
Exactly. I'm mostly curious if they're going to keep 1999 tech in it, or if it's going to get upgraded to 2019 stuff.
I'm very skeptical. Number four, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. So, Keith, here's one of your picks. Number three, Toy Story 2. So, we've talked about the first Toy Story that's available now in the archives, and did you guys watch Toy Story 2 in 1999?
No, I didn't come to it till many years later.
Yeah, I believe I watched it. And yeah, phenomenal movie. Personally, I like some of the other ones better, but every Toy Story movie is just fantastic. So you can't go wrong.
Number two, we have The Sixth Sense. So yet another movie that was brought up here. My movie, it's not going to be even close to the top 20. I'm lame. But number one that year is a surprise to nobody. Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. And this is where I stop talking and Keith says something about this movie.
Are you an angel?
Yeah. Oh, God. Now this is pod racing, guys. No, man, in a movie or in a year that so many great movies came out, how disappointing is it that The Phantom Menace is the top grossing movie? Like, I get it. And you know what? I think that there are good parts of The Phantom Menace that I'm defending. I will never defend that full movie. But what in probably one of the best years of movies maybe ever, it's kind of sad to think about how many disappointed people left that theater in the top grossing movies, because yes. God, that it is proof that hype is enough to send a movie to number one. Well, because I think movie's there, all hype.
There's two things that catapulted The Phantom Menace to the top. One being the hype and the anticipation for a first new Star Wars movie in who knows how many years. And the second being people came out of that theater and they were like, oh my God, that movie was bad. And they had to see it again to know for a fact. Like either to convince themselves that they loved it or to reaffirm that, yes, it is indeed not a good movie.
But we got a kick-ass racing game out of it.
We did. And we got one of the best Star Wars tracks ever, the Duel of the Fates.
The only part I will defend about that movie is the Duel of the Fates.
And the pod racing scene was pretty dope, too. Like, hey, the CGI still holds up for that.
Chuka Kutawaka?
What? What'd you say to me?
Cheska Sabalba?
Keith, we're a clean podcast, man. Cool it down.
Yeah.
So, while Keith recovers here, just some honorable mentions, because my movie, I got to build this one up, people. The disappointment is going to be real. So, some of the other movies that I will not choose to be my number one, and, oh my, did I just say this movie's my number one? Oh my God. Okay. So, we have movies like The Mummy, the first one. That was a solid movie.
That's a great movie. I still love that movie.
Stuart Little, that's, for those who don't know, Little Mouse. This is when companies went, oh my goodness, the CGI is so good. What if we made mouses come to life? I love that movie. I've watched it over 20 times. I don't know about you.
I've never seen it since it came out.
Yeah, I've never seen Stuart Little, period.
The Blair Witch Project. I mean, you want to talk about an iconic movie?
Yeah.
There's one right there.
That was actually one of my honorable mentions. That movie creeped the hell out of people. It was the dawn of the found footage genre, where essentially people were like a movie acted like it was just footage from a personal camera, if you will. People thought this movie was real. Again, early internet days where rumors and all that stuff, nothing was really confirmed. People thought this was like legit footage and that the Blair Witch was this real thing. So it scared the living hell out of people. And I think for a long time, it was the highest grossing like low budget film or something like that.
$30,000-$40,000 something.
Yeah, it broke some ridiculous records. But it's still a spooky movie to this day. And there's some really cool theories out there about what happens in the movie. People have like dissected it. So don't bother with any of the sequels or any of that crap, because they're just garbage. But that movie still holds up to this day, in my opinion, if you can get over the whole shaky cam deal.
Yeah. Shout out to Cloverfield for later destroying that genre completely.
Cloverfield, I think that the first time you watch it, it's okay, but then the second one, I tried it sort of Sixth Sense style.
If you don't throw up after watching the second Cloverfield,
it was ridiculous. Chronicle, but that was a very good found footage movie. You should check it out.
Now, speaking of 10-year-old Keith, or 9-year-old Keith, I guess, American Pie. Keith, talk to me about this movie. How did 9-year-old Keith feel about this movie, or whenever you watched it?
I didn't watch American Pie for a few years after that, but I imagine it would be pretty similar to my Austin Powers 1 experience that I'll never share on this podcast.
Have you ever done anything with a pie, Keith? Be real.
No. And nor would I tell you if I did. That's disgusting.
Ryan, what are you laughing?
I saw this movie not when it first came out, probably 1 or 2 years later. And again, probably a lot of it went over my head. Yeah, I don't think these quite hold up as much. Yeah, there's definitely some questionable things going on in this movie. It's not really cool to webcam people while they're changing. So yeah, a little bit sketchy nowadays.
Yeah,
but another one I have to MILF out of it.
One that we have to bring up because we're fans of that professional wrestling, Beyond the Mat. So Beyond the Mat was a combination of a movie/documentary where at that time, wrestling is a scripted sport, right? Where we know the predetermined outcomes, but a lot of what happens in the ring is very painful. So they did this behind the scenes documentary interviewing a bunch of people. They went inside the WWF. It was crazy that actually happened during the Attitude Era. Did you guys watch that movie around that time?
I probably watched it a couple years later, like 2001-ish or 2000. But it introduced me to things like WCW and just kind of, not WCW, I'm sorry, ECW is how I found out about ECW by watching this documentary, as well as just getting that, you know, I'll never forget just watching the chair shots that Mankind was taking from The Rock and just how brutal it was. And, you know, Mankind, aka Mick Foley's kids, just crying during this match, just really showing that other side of wrestling, as well as, you know, Jake the Snake and how messed up his life is. And it's great to see nowadays how he's doing so much better. But it really kind of showed all aspects of the business. And of course, the amazing stuff with Vince McMahon of the, he's gonna puke.
Yeah.
So it was a crazy look. Was that in like select theaters or something? I only remember the video.
It was
video
a limited release, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you guys and gals are fans of that professional wrestling, we have reviews for WrestleMania 14 and SummerSlam 2004. Those are available in the archives. And the last two movies I want to quickly bring up here, just because I feel they really are tied to us, as I've grown to know both of you. The first one is Pokemon, the first movie. Talking about the hype level, considering 1999, Pokemon, it's a thing. It's a phenomenon.
Oh, I was so bloody hyped for this movie. I think I saw it 3 times in the theater just so I could get those holographic cards that you got every time you went. Just to get that was worth the price of admission for me. But I still love this movie. I watched it earlier this year, and the fact that Mewtwo is my favorite Pokemon and he's the star of it, and just all the mystique going around it, because leading into this movie on the anime, you hadn't really seen Mewtwo yet, little glimpses of it in the intro, and just, oh god, I love this movie so much.
It was like, again, the height of Pokemon fever, so seeing this movie was an incredible experience for me as a kid, and I'll never forget. I believe I saw this movie at least twice in theaters, but the first time I saw it in theaters, about 3/4 of the way through the movie, something went wrong in like the movie cut out. And we were all just like sitting in the theater for a half an hour waiting for them to fix it. And it was just the weirdest thing ever. That had never happened to me before watching a movie. So of course I had to go see it again to get like the full experience, but they did eventually get it working. So I saw the rest of the movie that time, but just an interesting experience that I won't forget.
And the other one is the South Park movie, Bigger, Longer, Uncut. South Park in 99. You have Pokemon, squeaky clean. South Park, not so much, right?
That's a rough one to go back and watch.
You know, I haven't seen it in a long time, and I did not see it when it came out. I probably saw it a year or two later, but then, like, me and my friend were obsessed with that movie, and we would watch it over and over again. We probably shouldn't have been, because we were probably only like 12 at the time, and just kept watching that movie over and over again. But you know what? It's interesting. I bet you wouldn't expect, oh, South Park's making a movie. It's basically a musical. So,
oh, it is.
But it was hilarious at the time. I haven't seen it in a long time, so I don't know how much it holds up. But South Park has definitely kind of refined its humor over the years. So it would be interesting to go back and see, is it still good?
Sometimes I still catch myself humming Blame Canada from that movie.
Keith, actually you became like, are you like Edward Cullen right now? I just
yeah, for the video version. Keith is just like blown up. We talked about The Sixth Sense and our plot twist.
He's a glowing vampire right now.
You're glowing.
But it's this weird Skype thing that keeps happening to me.
Yeah. But I actually saw the South Park movie after Hurricane Maria, weird time, because I had the DVD. So my wife and I popped it in because at that time, I was watching with her the South Park Greatest Hits Volume 1, which there was never a Volume 2. But we saw the movie, and yeah, I think you become so accustomed to modern day or like the past 5-6 years South Park that when I saw this, I'm like, I don't know. I don't think this really clicks for me. But without further ado, people, because I know you're excited.
You've been giving us blue balls with this.
Yeah, you've really been hyping this up. I hope you deliver.
I am the master of stalling. I'm just going to throw something
like
out
Joseph.
There. I'm going to throw something out there. Oh my gosh. Whew. I'm gonna throw a quote of this movie, and I want to see if you guys can get it. At Scuba Steve, damn you,
Big Daddy.
Yes. And so many people are probably throwing things right now, but okay, let's be real. Juan in the 90s was a Beverly Hills Ninja black sheep kind of kid. So I loved good/bad comedy. So I also like Wedding Singer. I liked a lot of stuff that
Wedding
Adam Sandler was in.
Wedding Singer's a great comedy.
Yeah, I know, but nowadays, most of these movies are seen as a little bit campy and things like that. I think that Adam Sandler, there was a time, people, where he made good movies. He actually made those, and people enjoyed them. So Big Daddy, I think, was a really big challenge for him as a role because the whole premise was there's a kid that his father is supposed to be played by John Stewart. That's supposed to be the kid's real father. He just sort of shows up one day, but the character's not there. So Adam Sandler's character, he plays into the fact that, oh, yeah, I'm his dad. I'm going to take him in. So he eventually lies. And he goes from being this super irresponsible parent to eventually he starts really taking care of the kid. But it's an Adam Sandler movie. So just by saying that, you kind of know what you're in for. There is some sexual innuendo with some of the characters that happens. It's kind of fascinating to go back and watch this movie considering the cast. Like, I didn't know who Jon Stewart was. To me, he was just the kid's dad, right? I didn't see The Daily Show or see any of his other stuff till years later. You look at other members of the cast, but I think this is one of my favorite examples of a silly movie that makes a lot of sense, that you look at the story and be like, damn, this guy just lied. He should go to jail, but he's actually learning. And the fact that the kid really takes a liking to the parent, and I'm not going to spoil how the movie ends, although, I mean, you can kind of figure it out. It's a comedy movie, you know, but did you guys watch that movie?
Yeah, I mean, I saw all of Adam Sandler's movies at the time because he was like a A-list box office giant at the time. You know, he came out with any movie, everyone went to go see it. And this definitely was one of his better movies that probably holds up a lot better today. You know, I think Happy Gilmore still probably holds up, and The Wedding Singer, things like what was the one where he goes through school or whatever? Billy Madison.
Billy Madison, yeah.
Not as much, though it does still have one of the greatest scenes ever.
What about Little Nicky? Little Nicky was
Little
my
Nicky,
jam back
I was
in
obsessed,
the day.
I was obsessed with that as a kid. I haven't gone back to watch it, but get in the flask.
Get in the flask, Adrian.
I'm just remembering Billy Madison now. The devil. Everybody's the devil. Oh, man, yeah. That mom.
No, the best scene was obviously the I award you no points and may God have mercy on your soul.
right.
Oh, what a great movie. Yeah.
Is it sad I'm getting Daddy. Like an Adam Sandler craving?
I know. Yes. I get those often for that period of like Adam Sandler.
you do? Okay.
Yeah. But the thing that I remember most about Big Daddy, because I haven't seen it in years, but that frostbite scene in that movie traumatized me, where that's all I needed to like buckle up in the wintertime.
Wait, are you thinking of, isn't that Mr. Deeds?
Yeah, I think he's mixing movies up. Yeah,
that
is Mr. Deeds.
Never mind.
Yeah. Like,
all right, never mind. Then maybe I remember nothing about Big Daddy.
Yeah, the thing about Big Daddy, it's in the even in the damn poster. They're peeing on the streets. So there's something about peeing in Adam Sandler that I think people like, but that's quite the sentence.
No, I always remember from Big Daddy where the kid like does the spit like all the way down to almost the pavement and then like slurps it back up.
That was so nasty.
Yikes,
man.
Yikes, bro.
But
it was Mr. Deeds, and I looked it up, and I wish I never did. It still haunts me.
Speaking of haunting, Keith is haunting me in the YouTubeverse.
Yeah.
We're going to post a screenshot of this for the Twitter or Instagram, because I swear Keith is turning into a ghost. He's going to haunt us. Yeah. He's getting whiter.
He has gone translucent.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I cannot see his skin tone. There we go. But people, this has been the back-to-back section of traveling back to 1999 and talking about our favorite. Right. Oh my God.
That's as good as it gets.
I may cry.
I'll take it.
But let us know, what was your favorite thing about 1999? We didn't talk about music. We didn't talk about trends, you know, outside of movies and video games. So consider reaching out to us on social media, Acast of the Past, I should say. Same thing with that.com/Discord if you want to join our Discord, which is a place where we can chat, you can hang out with everybody else. And yeah, we have a massive backlog. We do seem to be going back to 1999 a lot, because we didn't plan this episode ahead of time, yet we look at the games and movies, and there's something about this year that I guess is pretty special for us, so we got to be reviewing more things. Oh my goodness, I can barely see Keith's face. I'm just going to close this off by saying subscribe, review, and we will be back with another exciting episode of Acast.
To the
past!